This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Troy Antic. This is Write Up, a six-part series in collaboration with the People Against Cyber Threats and Harassment, or People Act. All over the world, law enforcement is often dismissive of complaints about harassment that occurs online. Can this issue be tackled by legislation? On this fifth episode, I have on the show with me Long Seh Lee, CEO of MCCHR, which stands for the Malaysian Centre for Constitutionalism and Human Rights. Seh Lee, thank you for being here. I guess the show today is to address the question on whether law reforms are necessary. And so in order to tackle that, we need to establish what laws currently are available to address online harassment and whether or not it's defined in Malaysia at the moment. Is it currently a crime in Malaysia?
Thank you for having me. Technically, no. There is no express definition or offence of harassment or online harassment. But there are two somewhat relevant provisions in the Communications and Multimedia Act 1998, which is Sections 211 and Section 2331. Now, these two provisions, I mean, in summary, what it does, it says that you cannot send any communication, comment, request, which is obscene, indecent, false, menacing or offensive in character, with the intent to annoy, abuse, threaten or harass another person. And also we have other laws such as the Penal Code and the Employment Act 1955 that makes some types of online harassment an offence. So, for example, the Employment Act makes sexual harassment within the workplace an offence. The Penal Code, you're not supposed to threaten to kill someone. But, I mean, having said all that, these laws do not address all the different types of online harassment, such as revenge porn or doxing. And in certain circumstances, some of the harassment you cannot be dealt with by the Penal Code.
Because the definition is not wide enough to include those actions?
Yes and no. So if we go back to the Communications and Multimedia Act, the People Act has been having public consultations on whether these laws are adequate to address cyber harassment and other harmful cyber behaviour. And the comments and submissions that we received largely point to no. The laws that we have are insufficient and inadequate to deal with cyber harassment because the provisions, particularly the keywords, are too vague and too wide. And some of the stakeholders felt that the Communications and Multimedia Act was never intended to be used to tackle cyber harassment. Yeah, it's meant to regulate the industry. And also other stakeholders felt that if you look at laws in other jurisdictions like UK and Ireland, Singapore and Australia, they actually have legislation that deals with the specific offence of cyber harassment. And in this legislation, they actually describe the different types of cyber harassment, the elements and the keywords of these offences. And all these are all clearly defined. Some of the stakeholders, particularly civil society organisations, feel that the CMA is a problematic law, i.e. it has been used by authorities in ways that are incompatible with international human rights norms, particularly freedom of expression. So what we feel is because of all these inadequacies, we feel that what we want is a proposed standalone act that deals specifically with cyber harassment.
Yeah, just as you were saying, the CMA was not wide enough. I was just thinking some would have argued that it's too wide. But I guess what your contention is that the words that are contained in the act is not specific enough. But I see words like obscene and indecent, offensive. Aren't these words that would, or adjectives that would describe revenge porn?
For us, we don't think it's specific enough. The unfortunate thing, at least for us, what we think is sections 2331 is too wide. So the CMA doesn't define what is indecent, what's obscene. Case law defines what's obscene, but they say you must insult someone's modesty. So modesty is a requirement. Offensive is not defined. So when you have really vague key words in an offence, you run the risk of authorities using it to catch everything. So whether it's harassment or legitimate criticism or just mere offensive comments will all be caught. And that stifles freedom of expression. I think it's about balancing between freedom of expression on one hand and the need to ensure that the online environment is healthy and that we all are able to comment without the fear of someone threatening to kill you or to rape you.
Yeah, okay. Has it been tested in court? Has anyone committing revenge porn, for example, I say revenge porn because I think it's the most vivid example I can think of, has it ever been tested when someone makes a police report and the prosecutor, after the police have conducted the investigation and whatnot, has it ever been brought to court?
There are no reported cases as of yet, at least under the penal code. So the penal code provision that deals with revenge porn, or at least the closest to it, is section 509 of the penal code. So section 509 could be used. Some of the stakeholders felt that actually the current section 509 is adequate to deal with revenge porn. But the words obscene, indecent, and modesty, which are all the keywords in section 509, it's not very much, at least the courts are not able to agree on what the definition of these keywords are. And in any case, when you deal with disclosing intimate image, and if you look at other jurisdictions like the UK, where the definition of obscene and indecent is clearly defined. Nevertheless, the UK felt that they needed a specific provision to criminalise revenge porn. So what the People Act is recommending is that two new sections be introduced in the Penal Code, 509A and 509B. 509A basically says that you can't disclose an intimate image. It defines what an intimate image is, and it defines in quite detail what the offence is. Mm. And 509B is the threat to a disclosed intimate image.
And this definition must be spelled out. Just providing an Oxford Dictionary definition is not good enough in court?
I don't think so. I think when it comes to these kinds of offences, it's better if you can define it in law so that when the law is more specific, we all know how to regulate our behaviour online. If I say intimate image now without giving you a definition, I mean, we have different levels of what intimate image means, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you define and say, look, for example, intimate image means something that you can never get in public and that, you know, it shows a person's genitals and pubic area, mm-hmm. if I can say that, and something that a reasonable person would consider to be sexual because of its nature and its content taken as a whole, a reasonable person thinks it is also of a sexual nature. So if you say that specifically, we all know what we cannot post on the internet and what we cannot threaten to disclose without the consent of the person you're taking the photo of.
So then, because technology changes, behaviours and conduct changes over time as well, and it takes a long time to draft a law, how extensive should the definition be on what harassment is, because things like sexting didn't exist like 10 years ago, isn't it?
10 years. I think it existed 10 years ago.
WhatsApp didn't exist, I think.
Well, yeah, WhatsApp didn't exist. Yeah, so I think when people like, where we were discussing what...
20, okay, sorry.
Sorry. 10 years ago. I think when we were discussing what to define and what not to define, we actually need to balance between over-prescribing and the law being over-prescriptive and also being too vague. So you don't want to have, like, the CMA, which is vague, open to abuse, can be interpreted to mean anything, to being too over-prescriptive. And when you're over-prescriptive, you don't allow the law to evolve to take into consideration what could happen in 5 or 10 years' time. Because of technology, I mean, you see the way we communicate and the way crimes have evolved because of the internet age, the law must be flexible enough to cater that, because you don't want, you know, in 5 or 10 years' time, you need to amend the law.
I'm speaking today to Long Seh Lee, CEO at the Malaysian Centre for Constitutionalism and Human Rights. After the break, I'll ask Seh Lee about self-regulation and the cyber court. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. I'm Chua Eun Teck, and you're listening to Episode 5 of Rights Up, a six-part series about online harassment in collaboration with People Act. My guest today, Long Seh Lee, is CEO of the Malaysian Centre for Constitutionalism and Human Rights. Seh Lee is explaining the initiative that her organisation has been spearheading to address online harassment in Malaysia. To come back to the CMA, because it's so wide now, if the authority so chooses, can they go after cases of online harassment? Or would their case be weak because of the definition?
Technically, they could. But the People Act feels that it doesn't want to touch the CMA because it's already very problematic to start with. And the CMA... The objective of the CMA, if you look at the preamble of the CMA, it's actually to promote national policy objectives for the communications and multimedia industry and to establish a licensing and regulatory framework for the communications and multimedia industry. Now, if you look at all the provisions, it's really to regulate the communication and multimedia industry. Now we're wanting certain provisions of the law to deal with cyber harassment. Mm. And I think when they legislated the CMA in 1998, it would appear that they wanted to regulate the industry. Cyber harassment was not at the forefront of whoever was drafting the law. Now, if you take all that into consideration, I think, and also that, you know, the CMA has been used to unnecessarily curb freedom of expression online and as well as offline. I think when you take all this into consideration, what we feel is that we want to leave the CMA alone, let it be the law that regulates the industry, and come up with a different law with a very specific objective of tackling cyber harassment and other forms of harmful cyber behaviour against an individual.
And when you say regulating industry, you mean players like Facebook and Google?
Yeah, and internet service providers, mobile service providers, all these are regulated by the CMA.
Right. Yeah. And with the proposed...
Standalone Act.
Would these players have to comply with them and in terms of what is posted on their platforms?
They don't have to comply with them because they're the industry. And if you're talking about Facebook and Instagram, they already have their own policies against harassment, against comments that incite violence. Twitter as well. I think Twitter came up recently, and if you see your Twitter feed, sometimes it's you can't see the Twitter feed because it is harassing or is violent. So the industry kind of self-regulates itself at this point in time. But what we want is... not to regulate the industry, not to put an extra responsibility on the industry, but rather to provide survivors of cyber harassment a legal recourse and to cover all the instances where the current laws are not able to deal with them, to give them a legal recourse and legal redress. So it spells out, for example, you can get a protection order or an expedited protection order, or you can sue for damages. And it sets out actually a general offence of harassment, whether online or offline. It covers both situations.
And do you think there are gaps in this self-regulation, which is why instances of harassment are able to slip through, hence why online harassment is still happening?
I think it's a different piece of the pie altogether. I think it both work towards the same objective of trying to make the internet a more empowering environment. What the industry players are trying to do is that, look, I'm taking it upon myself as an industry player to make sure that whoever uses my product, for example, Facebook, that they do not incite violence, they do not incite racial hatred, and so on and so forth. What the Act says is, why is it needed, is so that survivors are able to say, look, this is an offence, and we want offenders to be held accountable. And also to other internet users to know, look, this is wrong. I shouldn't be harassing someone online.
In proposing this new standalone act, you don't want to repeat some of the, I guess, weaknesses of past acts where it's too wide or it's been used not in accordance with its original intention. What checks and balances are you putting in place to ensure that this law would not also be used to perhaps suppress civil liberties?
So what we are proposing in the Standalone Act is to have, for example, the offence of harassment that we're proposing. The definition is any person who intentionally or recklessly pursues a course of conduct that interferes with the other's peace and privacy or causes harassment or serious alarm, distress or harm to the other by using threatening, abusive or insulting words. And that those communication must actually cause the other person harassment or serious alarm, distress or harm. So if you look at it, the threshold is higher because we are very aware that we don't want to set it too low that every comment is caught by is an offence. And then, you know, that's about breaching freedom of expression unnecessarily. So it's about someone who has the intention or who's reckless about it. He or she pursues a course of conduct, and we define course of conduct. We actually looked at the UK Protection from Harassment Act, and they say that it must constitute two or more occasions of harassment. So if you do a one-off, you know, it could be due to ignorance, so you don't get caught by it. And we also state that it must cause the other person serious alarm, distress or harm. So it's just not causing the person alarm, distress or harm, but it must be serious. And that's up to the court to decide. But it shows that, look, it's not just mere harm or mere offensive statement, but something more serious than that.
Mm. Is harassing someone in person a crime?
Sexually harassing someone in person is a crime under the Employment Act. But as the Act states, it just applies only in the workplace or in the course of work. And that's where we pointed out that the Employment Act does not allow or give a remedy to a survivor who actually is in the receiving end of sexually harassing comments outside the workplace. And according to our survey, most of the sexually harassing comments are outside the workplace. So the Employment Act is a bit inadequate in that sense. Then you have the tort of harassment recently, but that's a tort and that's difficult and that's expensive. You have to go to the High Court, right, to pursue damages. So we feel that we have sexual harassment in the workplace legislated. The offence of harassment, which is a general offence, is able to deal with sexual harassment online and offline.
So this Protection Against Harassment Act, it will deal with both theoretically online and offline speech?
Yes.
But should they be treated equally? Because one would stay on the internet forever, whereas if it's just a passing remark by a stranger, should it not be treated differently?
No, I think laws should never treat expression online, or you should never have different sets of laws for online and offline expression. I think laws should be the same. But the important thing is that what the laws and authorities need to do is to evolve to ensure that it is able to deal with the different modes of communication online. We can legislate today. You know, we have WhatsApp and Facebook. Like you said, 10 years ago, there was no WhatsApp. I think. And also, I think the laws have to change and deal with the way we ourselves, how we communicate online has changed completely. And how crimes and offences have evolved, particularly now with the internet age. I'll give you an example. The Penal Code does say that it's an offence to threaten to rape or kill someone, loosely speaking. But it was drafted, that particular section was drafted in the 1970s. Okay, you don't have internet at that time. And so what the offence requires is that you need to directly communicate the threat to the other person. Now, with social media, what you have is offenders threatening to kill or rape someone, but they don't post it on that person's, for example, Facebook page, or they don't tag the person. But they put it on, these threats are put on social media sites of their friends and family, knowing that that person will actually, whoever it's intended for, will actually read those threats. Mm-hmm. So that section isn't able to deal with those kind of situation.
But just by naming who you want to kill, isn't that already having a target?
It's having a target, but you're not communicating it directly to the other person.
Right.
So I can just put it on, I don't know, my Facebook page and say I want to kill Mr. X. I can argue it's not communicated directly to that person. So the Penal Code doesn't deal with those kind of situation. And if you look at laws in other countries, they actually acknowledge that, you know, crimes, offences that are drafted in the 1970s or 80s, they do not deal with that. And they've come up with actually an amendment saying that it's not a defence. You know, if you threaten to kill someone and it's not a defence, you did not directly communicate your threat to that person.
So if, what about speaking through the media? Like right now, if I were to announce I want to blackmail someone or I want to kill someone,
right,
would that also not be a crime because I'm not communicating directly to the person I want to blackmail or kill?
No, I don't think it is, especially if, let's say, the person is not a listener. So if I was charged with that crime of you were charged, I mean, one of your defences is, look, I know he wasn't listening, so I was just blowing off steam, right?
What about intimidation?
Yeah, so this is the crime of criminal intimidation in the Penal Code at this point in time, which requires that you directly communicate it. Not indirectly communicate it, but directly communicate it. So, I mean, why do you want to take the risk of a law that actually says you need to directly communicate your threat when other countries have recognized that, you know, social media have allowed crimes to evolve?
Yeah. So as it stands, our law can't even adequately deal with offline physical harassment.
Not that I think, I don't think I'm able to comment substantively on whether offline the laws are able to deal with it. There are adequate laws, I would think, but I think the focus that we've done in the past year or two is on online harassment. We've not actually tested to see whether current laws can deal with physical harassment, I mean, offline harassment.
We have a cyber court. Would online harassment fall under its ambit? Even if the proposed standalone act goes through, what is this cyber court and what does it deal with?
As far as I know, the cyber court deals with offences under the Communications and Multimedia Act. And the court is...
like an express lane?
Not an express lane, but I think the judges actually have the expertise to deal with how offences are dealt online, breach of personal data. This requires very expert knowledge. Like, for example, when we were doing this research, it was the different types of way that people commit doxing or revenge porn. It's to me, it was an eye-opener because I'm like, okay, I never thought about that. So the cyber court, like, for example, what the government is trying to do is the proposed anti-trafficking, human trafficking court. So all these courts are very specialized courts where the judges are specialized and they are trained to deal with that specific offences. But the court is only as powerful as the law that gives it the power. So if you don't have a law that adequately deals with cyber harassment, then the court is not able to deal with cyber. It cannot be reinventing laws or making up laws just because there's a big problem here in Malaysia.
So we started off the show asking whether or not law reforms are necessary. I think that's more of a rhetorical question.
Yep.
What would your final message be, and how do you bring this proposed act forward?
I think it is a growing problem in Malaysia, and I think the authorities also know that this is a growing problem in Malaysia. There are increased harassment complaints lodged with the MCMC, and Malaysians use a lot of social media. We're one of the highest users of social media, at least in Southeast Asia. So I would say don't wait until the situation is so bad. Don't wait until the situation where, you know, inciting suicide and someone really commits suicide. We don't have such a case yet. So therefore, I think we should be having laws. I mean, apart from raising awareness, I think we should have proper legislation. And the People Act has come up with a proposed bill. whether it's a proposed standalone act to do with cyber harassment or amendments to the Penal Code and the Personal Data Protection Act. So we've come up with amendments, and you can actually see what the bill will look like at www.mcchr.org/SLA. So everything is there. Go to your MPs and ask them if you really believe that cyber harassment is a problem and there should be laws that that should be drafted to deal with this situation, then go to your MP and say, look, we have a draft bill already. Research has been done. A survey has been done. Basically, all the groundwork has been done. You just need to debate it in Parliament and get the law passed.
How do you get your Member of Parliament to get it into the floor?
It can go through a private member's bill, or if any of the Attorney General's chambers is listening, or you know anyone who works in the government, the bill is ready and the People Act is ready to discuss. We're not saying that what we're proposing is a perfect piece of legislation. This is just a guidance, a legal guidance that we can work on, a basis that we can work on, that we can agree on what Malaysia wants.
Have you gotten feedback from government or government agencies?
Yeah, we have. We actually organised 7 public consultations. And the feedback varies. So the police actually felt that there's a need for education and a change in culture in addition to law enforcement. Cybersecurity, which is part of MOSTI, was of the opinion that internet users must protect themselves online. Don't wait for a law, don't wait for authorities to do that. The Ministry of Women felt that with the Sexual Offences Against Children Act 2017, that already deals with some aspects of online harassment that affect children. And the MCMC felt that the CMA was not drafted to deal with online harassment, and that was never the objective of the CMA.
Sally, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
And if you miss any part of this interview or series, you can download the podcast via the BFM app by searching Rights Up. Thank you for listening, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.